We'll read this morning from Luke chapter 2. Reading Luke 2, 21 through 35. This is God's word. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the faces of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" Throughout the month of December, I've led the congregation in considering the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The wise men were drawn to Jesus by the hope he represents. Mary believed, she expressed her faith in the promise that the child that she would bear was the Savior that was promised. The shepherds responded by sharing the good news of Jesus widely. Today I'll press on in Luke to Simeon, a man waiting and longing to see Jesus. And through these truths that Simeon expresses, I pray that you would find peace in him. By way of introduction, I want to introduce you to Simeon. I want to tell about him and what is known. And there's something a little bit necessary here, because this is the only place where Simeon occurs in the whole Bible, just in these 11 verses. And yet these short verses paint a very vivid picture, a picture of expectation, of waiting on the Lord and finding peace in Jesus. Luke describes him as being just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel and the Holy Spirit being upon him. And those simple words tell us something about Simeon. It tells us that by the word just, another word that we use there is the word of righteousness. Here is someone who is out of humble reliance upon Jesus Christ, is living out his faith day by day. And it was such that was recognizable in the community around them. He is described also as devout. To be devout refers to sincerity. Someone who loves the Lord with all of his heart, strength, soul, and mind, and his neighbor as himself. Then the description catches our attention with that description of Simeon waiting upon the Lord, that sense of expectation. It says that he's waiting and looking for the consolation of Israel. And though it doesn't say it plainly, it gives a sense that Simeon has been waiting a long time. The words that Simeon goes on to use when he praises God, he says, "Now, O Lord, you may dismiss your servant in peace." And with those words, you get the sense that Simeon was an older man, one who had been longing and waiting and expecting this appearance of Jesus Christ for a long, long time. And so when this finally happens, there is a sense of release, a sense of relief that happens and is expressed by Simeon. So in Simeon, we have a picture of faithful waiting upon the Lord, and one who finds peace in the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's that subject of peace that I want to meditate on this morning. And I do so realizing that the Christmas holiday is a time where we often use the term peace. It is declared by the angels. People wish for it around the world. And yet, in my experience, it is also a time when there is a lot of struggling and a lot of suffering. There are those who do not know peace. And that weighs on us during this season of the year. It may be due to the anxiety that comes just from the press of the season that we're in and the many expectations that fall on us. It may come from the burdens of sadness due to the loss of loved ones. Going through special times without those individuals is a time of remembering those sweet days of love that you have shared together that are missed. For others, it's just the weight of the trials of this life that bring a darkness in these days of light. Whatever the place or whatever the source of those struggles are, today I invite you to consider Jesus Christ and to consider the peace that comes through being in relationship with Him. To focus on Simeon's expectation, I want to call your attention to two different aspects of his life. His faith in action, and secondly, his faith realized. His faith in action, to start off with then. As we meet Simeon, it says that the Holy Spirit was upon him, and that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and it just so happens that as he came, that Mary and Joseph with Jesus were coming at the same time. Simeon was looking for him, wasn't he? But it was a search that, as I've suggested, I believe, did not just happen overnight. It was not a search that was given to him the day before, and he all of a sudden finds Jesus the next day. It appears that this was a search and a longing that he had for maybe even many years. He was looking for what he describes as the consolation of Israel. Now I want to pause on that title that Luke gives for Jesus just for a moment, because when I hear the word consolation, it has kind of a negative taste in my mouth. I remember as a child getting consolation awards. Maybe you've had some of those. I can tell you have. So you competed and your brother got a trophy. But what did you get? A consolation prize. That means you didn't win, right? Your sister got a blue ribbon. But what did you get? A consolation award. Now, there was a day when we were thrilled to get a consolation award. And there's good reason for that. It's because in the eyes of a child, that consolation award was accomplishing what it meant to accomplish. We're so competitive now that consolation is like, oh man, I didn't win. And so it's a negative thing. But that's what consolation is all about, isn't it? Consolation has in mind to build up someone who has lost. And the spirit of a child that receives that consolation award is encouraged. And it runs to you as parents and says, look, Mom, look, Dad, what I got. I got this award. What a wonderful, joyful thing it is to be consoled. And that's what Jesus does. The gospel is all about comforting those who have lost. The gospel is about redeeming those who are lost. We've read earlier this month about how the people sit in darkness. Maybe you can hear the words of Handel's Messiah and those words from Isaiah that describe the people sitting in darkness, describing the world without Jesus Christ as being condemned and sitting as prisoners in a dark cell. But what does the gospel proclaim? The people sitting in darkness have seen a great light because of the coming of Jesus Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a king is given, a son is given, and that son is Jesus Christ. When you think about it, the gospel is all about consolation. It's about the giving of peace to those who have lost that peace. That's what Jesus would do by His incarnation. It's what He came to do, not just to be born as a cute little baby in Bethlehem, but He came so that He would go to the cross and die there for our sins, so that we might have peace with God. That's why He came, to accomplish that peace that we long for so much. And it's a wonderful consolation because we have not won. We have lost that peace. We have lost our direction. We have lost our souls because of sin. And yet by Christ, He has given us life. In Him we have victory. And the promises of that victory are ones that we can hold on to because God's promises never change. They are the same in times of prosperity and in need, the same in times of joy and in sorrow, of times of celebration and mourning and health and sickness and life and in mourning death. God's promises have not and will not change. And we think of consolation in those hard times mostly. And it's good to be assured that His promises are the same day by day. In Christ, you have that consolation. By the way, without Christ, you are in a desperate situation. There is something deep down in every individual that knows that you are not right with God. If you pause to think about it, you will admit that you too are striving and looking for peace. In fact, I'd suggest that you've probably looked for it in a lot of different places. Maybe you've looked for peace by trying to find happiness in a family or in love. Maybe you've tried to find peace by finding a job that pays you a great deal of money, or a job that seems to fit your character, and you try to find peace there. And yet, you're still looking. You will go on looking throughout the rest of your life unless you find that peace in Jesus. And that's where Simeon comes in as such a wonderful example of one looking for and finding peace in Jesus Christ. Simeon's faith is a faith that is in action. It's a faith that was looking for that consolation. Simeon didn't just sit back and do nothing, just waiting for God to do something. It was God who would do something, but Simeon was also active in looking for that consolation. And it's also apparent that as he lived his life, that he lived it looking to the God of his salvation, looking to the God who had promised that. And we know that by the way he is described. He was known to be a man who was just and devout. He was known to be a man who was looking for that consolation. It's even described in such a way that it gives you the sense that Simeon's close associates would have been taken aside once in a while, and Simeon would have said, God, by his Spirit, told me that I would see the Christ before I die. God has revealed that I would see the consolation of Israel. Don't you want that too? Don't you long for God to send his Christ, the Messiah? You see, Simeon connected all of those Old Testament promises of the Messiah with this revelation from the Holy Spirit. He would not see death until he saw the Christ. And so, even though he waited a long time, and even though, as we understand, Israel was in a desperate place, even though the leaders seemed to be wandering from the faith, Simeon kept the faith. He looked for and he longed for Jesus. Luke even implies that he was sure that he would find it. He was waiting for the arrival of the king. And that arrival was a sure thing. He didn't know when it would happen, but it would happen. And so he waited patiently for that. What a beautiful position that is to be in. Waiting upon the Lord. Looking for his salvation. Going about your daily life with the assurance that you too will see your Savior face to face. That you too have been accepted by Christ into his family. And that you can go about confident that God will accomplish his purpose in this life and the life to come, no matter what the outside circumstances suggest to you. And there are times when your outside circumstances will suggest to you lots of turmoil and lots of trials. Sometimes being embroiled up in our spirits is evidence that those troubles are part of our experience right now. But God is at work. The Lord will accomplish his purpose. We don't always know exactly what that purpose is. We don't have, like Simeon does, a word from the Lord about what will happen before we die. But we do have sure and enduring promises of belonging to Jesus, and upon our death, seeing him face to face. So you too can go about your life righteous and devout, waiting upon the Lord and upon His purposes. He has not forgotten you. He has purchased your peace, and He will never desert you. Well, that brings us then to the high point of the passage, and that's Simeon's faith realized. And I called it that because Simeon did not wait in vain. Instead, what God had promised, he genuinely brought about. He saw the consolation that he looked forward to. So Simeon followed the leading of the Spirit into the temple on that day, just when Mary and Joseph happened to be coming into the temple too. They came to perform two sacrifices. First, according to the law, Mary came to perform the sacrifices of purification for childbirth. And secondly, they came to redeem their firstborn son. And as a side note here, Luke records that they brought two turtle doves. And that was in agreement with the law of Moses that said to bring a lamb, and if not a lamb, then to bring, if you couldn't afford a lamb, then you could bring either two pigeons or two turtle doves as that sacrifice. And that tells us something about Mary and Joseph's condition, doesn't it? They couldn't afford a lamb. They brought the sacrifice that was fitting for someone of a lower economic station. And we have noted this before, that this is just one more indication of the humble nature of Jesus' condition when he came into this world. He was not born in a palace of a king, surrounded by all of the comforts of affluence. Instead, it was a very humble birth, and even the sacrifice is an indication of that humiliation. But almost in answer to that humiliation, Simeon speaks. God prompts him by the Spirit to praise the Lord and then to speak words of prophecy about Jesus Christ. He takes the baby Jesus in his arms. The consolation that he has longed for and waited for. And he blesses God. "Now, O Lord, you are dismissing your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." God had told Simeon that he would not die until he had seen Jesus. And so now, and only now, Simeon recognizes that God has kept his word. And it's as if he says, "O Lord, I am at peace. You have kept your word." God released him in the blessed comfort from his work and from his watch. It's almost like a soldier being relieved from his duty after finishing his watch. That's the sense that you get from Simeon's reaction. He has kept the faith. In fact, that's the language that Paul uses at the end of his life, that he has fought the good fight. He has kept the faith. And Simeon speaks in a similar way, that he can now rest in peace because he has seen the salvation that God had promised, that he had kept his word. I like the way another commentator describes this. He says that Simeon was willing to die since his eyes had seen that which made him desire life. He was ready to die because that which gave him life was accomplished. But there is more to that. Not only had God kept his word, but the Holy Spirit reveals to Simeon a glimpse of what this consolation would accomplish. Simeon says that he has seen God's salvation. He comes to understand that the comfort that is proclaimed in this child is nothing less than the Savior, the promised salvation from sin that all of the Old Testament is longing for and looking for. And Simeon says, here he is, that long-awaited Savior that God has promised. Oh, God, praise you for bringing this finally to occurrence. He says it's the redemption that God had prepared before creation. Even before the foundation of the world, the Spirit is saying to Simeon that this is what God has prepared, even before creation. It has now come to a waiting and watching world. Simeon says that this is the deliverer who would bring life not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. That he would be a light to the peoples stretching around the world. Here, Hendrickson uses a very vivid illustration to describe this. Imagine early in the morning as the sun is just starting to rise, that you climb up to a high mountain or a high hill, and you look out over the land where the sun is now rising. With the sun at your back, look out at the extent of where that sun will go. And as the sun goes over the mountains, it reaches not only the area that is close by you, but you can see far off into the distance as the light begins to illuminate those far distant lands. And this is Simeon's experience. It's as if, as he holds Jesus, that he is given that understanding of the promises, not just to the Jews, but that the promises that were part of the Old Testament are now coming true in Jesus, that he would be a light to the Gentiles as well. And from that vantage point, he can say, praise the Lord for the extent of the salvation that you are bringing in Jesus Christ. Praise God for the peace that he brings to the Jews through Jesus, and to the Gentiles, and to the ends of the earth. Finally, Simeon goes on to address Mary and Joseph, describing the Savior's task from now until the grave. Jesus would be a stone of decision. For believers, that stone is a foundation upon which we stand. We are built up in faith, standing upon the work of Jesus Christ. But for those who are unbelievers, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and of falling. He was a sign to be opposed and spoken against, says Simeon. That opposition would result in Jesus' being arrested and tried and crucified and put to death. He describes it as a truth and an occurrence that would be like a sword that would pierce Mary's own soul with grief. It points to the absolute necessity of finding peace in Jesus and in him alone, because Jesus lays bare the thoughts of the whole world. There is nowhere else to go to find peace but in Jesus Christ. And with those words of prophecy, Simeon's faith is realized. It is realized in the fact that it is not just a hope that is yet to be fulfilled. He has seen the Lord's salvation in Jesus. he has seen the consolation that he looked for and longed for. As a Christian, your faith, your life is a life of faith and action. It's a faith that you will one day see the Lord's salvation, even if others doubt, even if it takes a long time. It's a faith that recognizes who you are and goes about your life trusting in Him rather than being fearful of mankind. It goes about joyfully expecting and joyfully going about the task that God has for you, day in and day out, waiting upon the Lord. It's a faith that runs with endurance the race that God has set before you, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. It is a faith in action. But it is also a faith realized. You are not just waiting for the finish line. You're not just waiting for death in which you will see Jesus face to face. The promises of God are yours now. You hold them in your hands because Jesus Christ has come and accomplished redemption. There is a sweet peace and a sweet fellowship that you have with your Savior right now because your sins are forgiven in Him. You are now a child of God. And that truth is one that brings peace. The world fears death and squanders life. But in Christ, you have something that the world longs for. Peace that comes from God. Peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. Peace that draws you into fellowship with Him and with other believers. It is a peace that cannot be separated from the incarnation. The peace that comes in Jesus. And so in the midst of all the raging waves of the trouble that you face in this life, I remind you that you are a child of God and that in Jesus you have peace. If the concept of peace is something that you long for, and if the person of Jesus is one that you came here today wondering about, I invite you and I urge you to look for the consolation of Israel, to look for peace in Jesus. Do not run and hide from Him. Do not write it off as just a nice story that your family has told that may give you warm fuzzies but has no meaning to you as an adult. Jesus is the only way of peace. I'm happy to tell you that in Him you'll find that longing that you have. You'll find solution for the peace that you so desperately want. I would encourage you to receive Him as He is offered. He is the giver of life and peace. And as Simeon describes, He is a light to the world and the consoler of you and I. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You have brought us consolation in Jesus Christ. Thank You that in Him we have life and that the light of the world has come to us. God, we have been a people who have been sitting in darkness, imprisoned by our own sins and plagued by the fears and troubles of this world. Those troubles wash over us, wave after wave. And God, even as believers, we are troubled by a variety of things in this life. And I pray, O Lord, that You administer peace to us today in Jesus. May we have the peace that comes from knowing that You have made us Your children, that You have drawn us into Your family, that You have forgiven our sins. May we have peace in the context and in the light of the gospel when we face the troubles and the sadnesses that rise up around us. Oh Lord God, I pray that for those that are not believing, that you would not let them rest, but instead that you would pursue them by your Spirit, that you would bring them to yourself, that in you they might have life and peace as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I chose Psalm 29 for us to sing in response. It's a psalm that that you may find interesting in describing the voice of the Lord making the world tremble and being compared to thunder. And we often sing this with that almost the coming presence of the Lord with power and might. I chose it though for its closing words. The Lord ruled as king as the floodwaters raged, and still shall the Lord rule throughout every age. And think of the troubles that rage around us that destroy our peace. It goes on, the Lord will give strength, the Lord will strengthen his people. The Lord will the strength of his people increase. The Lord gives his people the blessing of peace. Let's stand and sing Psalm 29, selection B.
You sons of the gods, give the Lord as is right. Ascribe to the Lord.